Good afternoon. I'm Mike Flanagan, State Superintendent of Schools, and we're ready to embark on our second podcast. And one reason I'm doing it while I'm even eating lunch right now, grilled cheese, by the way, is because I thought we've gotten so much positive feedback on the first podcast, and it was mainly about people saying, thank you for modeling this, and this is something we should do as leaders or local superintendents or teachers. So I wanted to kind of impress upon you, as you'll see maybe in a few moments, that you don't have to do this with a ton of planning. You don't have to get it perfect. You really just want to communicate with the people that are listening in, or in this case, maybe watching in. So I thought, suddenly, we should just do this more informally and let you feel confident that you can do the same. Last time, the first one, we got such positive feedback, but honestly, I kind of thought it was average. And part of it was because we made it more formal. We tried to plan every soundbite. So anyway, what I was hoping to do today, for those of you who either catch this accidentally on the website or we actually listserv out to some folks, which I think is what happens, I really wanted to talk about kind of both investing and innovating in education. And this is a Friday, I think about March 2nd or something like that. So I'm not sure when you're watching this. But the reason this is relevant is I'm very concerned right now about the investment part. We'll talk about both. But the investment part, there's a lot of, you know, friction right here down the street. The Capitol's behind me in Lansing right now. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I see some of this infighting going on what budget plan is the right plan. And I need to say to you right now, just directly, that as state superintendent, at this moment in time, I like the two-penny plan that the governor's come out with. But frankly, that's because there's no other plan on the table. And I understand maybe next week that the Senate's going to have their own plan. And maybe that's something we can support also. Because any plan that's going to really make sure that we don't cut schools mid-year, number one, that's a disaster if we do this in the next few weeks. And it secondly starts to provide a more stable atmosphere for school funding, I'm for it. So I don't really care whose plan it is. I would say that if those of you who know the Citizens Research Council, and you can Google their site, there's a great guy named Tom Clay, who's deputy treasurer, I think, here for years. And he really makes a persuasive case that we've got a structural deficit. And, you know, I've been reluctant to talk about revenue and investing for a couple of years. I've been here as a state soup about a year and a half because I think it's not really our job typically to worry about the finances. It's more our job to worry about student achievement. But I need to tell you, looking at his report, we've got a problem. We certainly don't want to invest in a way that drives businesses out. But I don't really understand the problem on two pennies on the sales tax for services. We're moving from a goods economy, an industrial economy, to a service economy anyway, so we've got to rethink about how we do our taxes. And for now, that seems like a good plan, as long as it's contained with two other things, with innovation on the part of schools and with some cost-cutting on the part of schools. As much as has happened, there's probably some other areas that we can continue to try to work on. But if I could just implore you who are watching, Republican, Democrat, Independent, that just we need a plan. We need agreement on a plan. Every week that goes by, it's more desperate for schools. There's an $800 million, I think, is the dollar shortfall for this year that has to be reconciled one way or the other. And right now, any plan that doesn't cut them mid-year sounds pretty good to me. But a better plan is one that will give us some stability into the future a bit. You know, our own state board here, I'm independent as a state superintendent, a constitutional officer. I'm appointed by a state board that's bipartisan, by the way. And that particular board, in a bipartisan way, adopted a resolution a week or two ago that basically supports these general ideas I just mentioned, that any plan that takes care of those things is great with us. So I hope you'll consider that. Let's see, in terms of innovation, let me take a bite here. Is this okay? See, this can be done informally. You don't have to be a principal and say, I've got to get this. Of course, you're not supposed to talk with your mouth full, so excuse me a second. I actually don't mean that to be funny as much as to really make a point that the important issue is communicating and trying to communicate with people to help them understand issues. And if you wait for the atmosphere to be perfect, I mean, I was in Grand Rapids this morning speaking to the special education and exceptional children conference. I was in Bay City all day yesterday at their skills center and talking to a visions leadership group, which included the president of Dow Chemical. So if we waited for this to be exactly perfect, I'd probably never be talking to you, and I think I owe you that. So I hope this is, meets with your needs. But innovation, I'd really like to say, there's a couple out there right now. We can consolidate services at an ISD level. And then you don't have to worry as much about consolidating school districts. They're two different notions. Consolidating school services means pushing things that are non-instructional up to the intermediate school district, the county, regional systems. That's where you can have economies of scale. You can have all the benefits that you would have in a county system like Florida. But you wouldn't have the disadvantages of what Florida has, which is all these mega high schools. You don't want mega high schools. We want small, intimate high schools. And the danger of consolidating school districts is you could blow up the very thing that's very successful in small high schools. And you could also be at a point where you don't realize that one of the things you're doing is taking away the fabric of a community. That may be their entire fabric is about around their high school, their team. It gives a lot of energy. So I'm asking you to consider that, but that's one innovation that we have in mind. And the governor's got in her budget plan, and I hope the Senate and House will adopt this, $10 million of incentives for school districts to do that. I need to tell you that there are penalties down the road if districts don't do that, because we're at a crisis point in funding. We don't want to overtax our citizens, and we need to get these economies of scale. By the way, the main reason is then you're driving more money into the classroom with the teacher, and it's all much more about student achievement. I would say this about classrooms, just as an aside. It's another piece of innovation that we'll probably talk about in another podcast someday. But you've probably heard this. The educators have, but those of you who are other citizens watching or listening right now, there's an old saying, and it's getting to be pretty old, and we still laugh about it, but it's not funny anymore. It's that Rip Van Winkle, if he woke up today, the only thing he would recognize would be schools. So we've got to really think about, does it make sense to have an agrarian calendar, you know, September to June? Kids forget a lot of what they learned through the summer. Teachers have to review a lot of the material later. It's just not, it's not smart. We've got to move from a time-based system to a competency-based system. My colleagues here at the department, which is where this is being filmed, have worked very hard on course content expectations. It means it's describing exactly what Algebra 1 is, so it's the same in Marquette or in Detroit or in Niles, Michigan. It's the exact same thing. And what we want to do is just free teachers up and free systems up to say, any way that you can accomplish these course content expectations, we really don't care. You just need to be able to demonstrate the kids have mastery in that. And it's going to come out one way or the other, in the sense that all kids have to take the high school Michigan merit exam. And this year that starts out being the ACT. This is the first year that's moved to the ACT, along with a lot of other wraparound questions that make it more complete. But the ACT is going to demonstrate in time whether or not we've really accomplished what we hope. So I guess one of the things I'm trying to ask for teachers and parents alike is help us invent a system that is still mainly school-based, but you can learn outside of school. And if people understand what kids need to learn in a global economy now, and how we're, the competition's there, we can't make it anymore with an auto-only industry. Our hope is we keep the brain part of the auto industry, but we bring in the Googles and the others that actually have already moved to Michigan, bring more in so our kids have jobs. And those jobs require a lot more math and science and English language arts and social studies, all of those things. And that's why we have high school requirements. I think actually the plan is probably to talk about high school requirements in more detail another time. I'm looking at one of my buddies over here. So maybe we'll wait on that one. But I hope what we can really get you to think about it in this particular podcast, and we'll try to do these more frequently since we can do them informally, is innovation and investment. And both of those are critical at this exact point in time. So thanks for tuning in, or however else you got this, and hope you're enjoying your lunch.